frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes today of your busy day to join me, whether it's 6:30 a.m. or 5:30 in the afternoon. Thank you for taking the time, 30 minutes to spend, to hear a word from God today. And I promise you won't be disappointed here today. We're going through an awesome series in the book of James at church. Yesterday, my sermon was one verse. We couldn't get through one verse because of James has a lot to say. It says, "Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment." So that's the sermon. It's a look at all the pressure. You know, you better think twice before you become a teacher, whether it's a Bible teacher or whether it is a school teacher. That's where we're going to spend most of our time here in this sermon. Is woe to you school teachers. Woe to you that know the truth and suppress it. Woe to you to know that there's a God up in heaven. Woe to you that know in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and you don't say it. Woe to you who know that male and female created he them and don't say anything about it. Now, Paul warned in Romans chapter 1 about those that suppress. That means to hold down or hold back like a furious kettle of boiling water. Those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, that they're just as guilty as everyone else in the rest of that chapter. So especially school teachers, and that's what we're looking at. The pressure that's on a school teacher to speak the truth. Trust God. Lean on Him and fall back on Him, but always, always to stand with God and never against God. I think that's my whole sermon. Anyway, this will play today, and I'll let this opening serve tomorrow as well. So perhaps you're listening in on Tuesday. So it's about a 30 or so minute sermon. Play Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday night, I invite you to church. We're going through Luke verse by verse. We're in chapter 8 this Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Love to see you. Here now, let's get into the Word. Let's get into this past weekend sermon. So you want to be a teacher? Okay, great. There we go. All right, we're starting chapter 3 in the book of James. Spending this last month in this book intently. Man, oh man, let me say that James just pulled no punches, does he? Doesn't he? Neither is he today going to pull any punches. Right off the bat, James chapter 3, verse 1. It's on the handout as well if you don't have a Bible. That's our launching point and our only verse, James chapter 3, verse 1. Now, the subject heading for chapter 3 is the untamable tongue, though it'll be next week before we get to the evils of the tongue. That sermon I've entitled, "You Will Know Them by Their Speech." Now, on to James chapter 3 and the first verse of what we're going to be looking at here today. James 3:1, it says, "My brothers, let not many become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a greater judgment." Interesting and fascinating verse. Two main points here. Number one, a warning to be careful about becoming a teacher. Number two, the fact that there will be different degrees of judgment at the end of the age. There'll be different degrees of judgment at the end of the age. Let's start with point number two first. There are different degrees of judgment and different degrees of punishment at the end of the age. Did you know that? If you would please turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I'm going to pick it up in verse 42. Jesus speaking. And the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat or food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, will find so doing. Of a truth, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all that he has. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord is delaying his coming. All right, slacker alert. If my Lord shall delay his coming and shall be... Let me read that correctly. If that servant says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens and to eat and drink and to be drunk, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he's not aware of, and he will cut him in pieces or in sunder, and he will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. That's Luke 12:47. But he that knew not and committed things worthy of stripes will be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much is required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Some tough words here from the Lord. So the Bible's saying that for those who know better, there would be different degrees of punishment. Or as James calls it, a greater judgment. And that's being nice. The King James calls it a greater condemnation. That is for those who know to do right and do the right thing, but blow it off and don't do it. Jesus says there's going to be greater degrees of punishment for that. That you and Hitler or Osama bin Laden won't get the same punishment. Here's one more, John 19:11, Pontius Pilate speaking. He says, knowest thou not I've got the power to crucify you, and I have power to release you? Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me, except it was given to you from above. Therefore, listen to what Jesus said, he that delivered me to you has the greater sin. Now, for the first part of this verse, my brethren, let not many become teachers. All right, so why does James say this? Simple. Because teachers are held to a higher standard. And not just Bible teachers. This goes just as much for school teachers and those who teach and instruct children. Let's start with Bible teachers. And let's start with what the Lord said to the pastor. If you guys want to turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation 2, verse 19. Let's look at what the Lord Jesus said to the pastor of the church at Sardis regarding a woman that was teaching there. Perhaps even the pastor's own wife. My Bible translation said it was the pastor's wife. Notice the Lord still holds the man responsible and accountable, though, there. Revelation 2:19, Jesus, he writes a letter to the pastor of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, gives instruction to all of them. To the church at Sardis, Jesus wrote this. If you open up the pastor's mail and read this letter, snooped in, this is what it says. Jesus wrote to the pastor, I know your works and love and your faith and your service, and I know your endurance. Your last works are greater than the first. But I've got this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Notice they don't call her a prophetess. She calls herself one. Just like today. Verse 21. I gave her time to repent, and she does not wish to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I'm casting her into a sick bed. That's the word kline. The word means a stretcher. So Jesus is saying about this woman who's corrupting the church with her teaching, he's saying, behold, they are going to throw this woman into a, they're going to cast her into a stretcher, and they're going to haul this woman out of here. I am casting her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, if they don't repent of her works. Notice he holds them accountable for what she was doing. Then he says this, I will kill her children with death. This is Jesus speaking. I will kill her children with death. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches minds and hearts. And I will give to every one of you according to your works. But to you I say, to the rest who are in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. So the only burden was to get rid of this woman who was teaching and leading the people of God astray at this church in Thyatira. Look at his terrible threat he's pronounced over these people. Number one, the woman's going to be thrown into a sick bed or a stretcher. Number two, those that follow her, Jesus said he's going to cast into great tribulation. Number three, he said he was going to kill her children or her followers. Number four, he will pay back all those who know what's going on and have allowed it. That is, I will give to each one according to their works. Those that sat there in the church and allowed it without doing anything about it, he will give to everyone according to their works. And number five, he's going to examine your kidneys. I love this where it says reins in the King James. I am he that searches reins. Rein is the Greek word for kidney. Really, it means your bowels, your intestines. Have you ever heard that phrase before? I've got a about this? Right! A gut feeling. And that song that we sing, I always want to tell Carol to fix the spelling of that word because it's wrong. Where it says, that song that we sing, it says, straight is the way. It's not straight. It's straight. Straight, constricted, narrow is the way. It's not straight line. It means, oh, how narrow is the gate that leads to heaven, and there are so few that find it. That's how you spell that. He's going to examine your gut feeling to see if you, too, had a gut feeling about it. Even your heart, even your kidneys. He can look and examine you from head to toe. Do you even have a gut feeling about this evil teacher in here misleading people? And Jesus knows all. He won't judge anyone incorrectly. He can read your kidney. Our friend Rodney, friend of Jim's and mine, just got two brand new ones. Been praying for him. He can read your kidneys. So God doesn't take it too kindly when people who claim to speak for him mislead the people. That's my point of what we're looking at here. Old Testament, one verse, Deuteronomy 18, which includes a prophet misleading people. The prophet who will presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of someone else, that prophet shall die. Deuteronomy 18:20. So the Bible's clear.
Let not many of us become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. God is going to hold teachers accountable for what they do and for what they teach. Way back 22 years ago, for me, it was November 26, 2000, the day I was ordained. And I used the following text at my ordination. It was 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And 22 years later, I'll still say it in front of all of you. And that is what Paul said. He said this. He said, speaking to the people, he said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Imitate me. The Greek word mimetai, where the word mimic comes from. Imitate me. This is what with the responsibility of the preacher. God's going to hold me accountable for what I say and what I teach to you. Imitate me. That needs to be my testimony as well. I've made it my testimony. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. I try to be a good example of living a Christian life, living out the Christian life, one in which to follow, both in life and in the face of death. And I look around and I see pastors and Bible teachers doing bad things and teaching false doctrine. But Jesus says, woe to you teachers. Read your Bibles. Fear God. Woe to you and woe to me when people trust us as teachers and you and I prevent people from discovering the truth. Or we deliberately mislead people. Now, speaking of misleading someone, there's the dangers of misleading a child as a teacher. That's the second group I want to address this morning. First, we looked at Bible teachers. People in the Old Testament represented God, whether a prophet, scribe, Pharisee. Now I want to look at a second kind of teacher. Jesus pronounces this woe against school teachers. Any school teachers here today? Amanda, a school teacher. Mother? Jennifer? Mark chapter 9, verse 42. Jesus says this. Whoever shall offend one of these little ones. Picture little Vinny or Giovanni out here. Jesus points them out, calls them over to himself, wraps his arms around them, and says, look at these two kids right here. Hear him speaking to you today. Whichever one of you causes one of these two kids here to stumble, the word is offend. Actually, that word means here, that word scandalon, where our word scandal comes from. It means to offend them. Whoever in this church causes these two kids over here to stumble or to be offended because of what's come out of your mouth deliberately to mislead them, he says, whoever shall offend or cause to stumble one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for them that a millstone was hanged around his neck and he was cast into the sea. Now that's about the equivalent of one of those giant cement pillars that holds up 520. Taking that, wrapping it around your neck, chartering Captain Jim's boat, and he'll take you out there to the 8 mile buoy and dropping you off there and saying goodbye. Down you. You'd be better off if that happened to you than if you hurt one of these kids here. If you misled one of them. Jesus cares about the children. This is why this warning in here, whoa, you better be careful. Don't deceive one. Don't mislead one. Don't cause one to be offended that believes in him. All right, how can a school teacher cause a child who believes in Jesus to stumble? Point number one, teach that child evolution. This will do it every time. You tell one of these children that believes in Jesus Christ that they came from an ape. We laugh and chuckle and say this or that, but I'll tell you what, the time is coming when you're going to stand naked and you're going to have to give an account for that, and your judgment's going to be different than Carol's or mine or one of you. It's going to be more severe. All right, teach a child evolution. Even in broader terms, just teach standard curricula to that child. Ask a Christian school teacher what would happen to them if they taught that Darwin, which is true, what I'm going to tell you, was a disturbed, troubled youth and had an axe to grind against the church. Did you know that about him? His father was this mean-spirited, nasty old man that beat the tar out of him and, of course, was a deacon in his church. So he grew up hating Christ and hating the church and had an axe to grind against the church. Ask a Christian in a public school that said that to someone of their students, what would happen to them? Or to teach there's no such thing as evolution in public school? A teacher that teaches a child that the origin of the species is something or someone other than God? That teacher is in danger and has committed a grievous sin. God said this, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God has said in Genesis 1:24, let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle, creeping thing, beast of the earth after its kind, and it was so. God made the beast of the earth after its kind, the cattle after their kind, everything that creeps on the earth after its kind, God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them.
All the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio, and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times he's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in this life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true, and everything He has said He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true, and everything He has said He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation He has proved His love for me. And when I lack the understanding, He gives more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Jesus is faithful.
Fill us with the knowledge of You.